You're listening to Mr. Open Banking, the only podcast dedicated to exploring the open banking movement. Whether you're a financial expert, banking executive, or everyday consumer, open banking affects everyone and will change the way we interact with our money. I'm A.L. Savan, your host. This episode is brought to you by Ozone API, unlocking the power of open finance all over the world. We are living through a period of unprecedented technological change. In 2016, Klaus Schwab, executive chairman of the World Economic Forum, wrote a book that attempted to capture this idea using the term Fourth Industrial Revolution. The Fourth Industrial Revolution, which builds upon the three previous ones, represents a transformative era, marked by the convergence of advanced technologies, such as robotics, AI, the Internet of Things, and blockchain, that together are reshaping both industries and society at large. Unlike the previous revolutions, this one is characterized by its rapid pace and profound impact on all aspects of daily life, including the way we work, our interactions, and even how we think. Navigating all these changes can be a challenge, to say the least. More and more, it feels like looking ahead offers nothing but a blur. To be sure, with technological progress comes enormous opportunities. After all, it is during these periods of revolution that societies transform, often for the better. Economic growth, improved living standards, affordable goods, and new job opportunities often accompany these eras. Millions can be lifted out of poverty, and millions more can lead better lives. Despite the challenge, there are those who dedicate their careers to helping us steer through the fog towards a brighter future. Our guest is one of them. Dr. Effie Pellerinou knows a thing or two about the world of banking. She's a seasoned Wall Street professional, having previously worked at the likes of Salomon Brothers and Bankers Trust. In 2016, she founded Pellerinou Advisory, offering B2B content services to heavy hitters like Microsoft, NVIDIA, and SIBA Bank, to name a few. She's also become a globally recognized name in the fields of fintech and blockchain technology. Finally, she's a faculty member at the Fast Future Executive, a think tank providing executive education on the future of money and finance. It's here that she's co-authored a new book, Fast Future Blur, which explores how our current period of rapid digital transformation is shaping our future. Effie, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Let's begin. What is the Fourth Industrial Revolution? Where did the term originally come from, and what does it mean?
It was born here in Switzerland, where I'm based. The term was coined by the World Economic Forum around 2015, 2016. It makes it very clear across all industries, across all business sectors, across all countries globally, that we are in a new phase. In terms of what the Fourth Industrial Revolution really means, it's all about interconnectedness. It's looking at the fact that we have advanced in technologies like artificial intelligence, blockchain, the Internet of Things, sensors, bandwidth, robotics, materials, and all sorts of other technologies, and everything is interconnected and they are shaping what we call now an intelligent economy. The third Industrial Revolution was all about electronics, automation, digitalization. Now we're moving to more smart systems and more interconnected systems. Before, the second Industrial Revolution was about electricity, and we had the industrial production in the sense of physical lines of production. And before that, we had the steam and the water powering up what we call the mechanical revolution. So all the way from mechanical wonders to interconnected and smart systems.
Which brings us to your book, Fast Future Blur. What is a blur?
It's all about the fact that we are in a phase that there is increasing complexity. There are forces that are interacting, shaping our future, and they're not clear. So that's where the blur comes in. But the blurs are opportunities. We're talking about opportunities at the intersection of advanced technologies, but also socioeconomic trends like the future of work, the future of mobility, the future of health, of leadership, of finance. All these are creating a blur that really hides opportunities for those that want to lead. It's this main idea that everything is interconnected. And in our book, we are focusing on the opportunities presented from these interconnections.
In the book, you identify business archetypes. How many are there, and can you take us through them?
Yes, there are four archetypes. We're all familiar with traditional business archetypes, businesses that were born 20, 30, 40 years ago. And some of them have started their digital transformation journey, some of them successfully. Others are in the early stages. Others are completely unsuccessful, despite the fact that they're using digital tools, but they really don't understand what it means to be a digitally native business. That's the second archetype that's been born fairly recently in the last, let's say, two decades. And it's not only about using digital tools. It's a completely different mindset. It has brought around the experience economy. It's brought to the forefront customer centricity, and it's definitely showed businesses across all sectors how to use data and analytics to increase or leverage, if you like, the feedback loops between customers and the business. So that's the second archetype. The third archetype is the blockchain business archetype. And some may argue that's also a digitally native archetype, but it is a very different type of business. It's based on a different principles of organization and governance. Blockchain native companies are focused on decentralized governance, decentralized manufacturing of products and services, decentralized approach at different levels, at the customer level, at the enterprise, and at the ecosystem level. They've also introduced new types of digital tools that are native to their business, smart contracts being the most known. And then we have the fourth business archetype that actually has not yet been born, but will be born definitely in this decade before 2030. And this is the AI native business archetype. And here we're talking about businesses that are not just offering or building an AI product. For example, OpenAI is not an AI native business. It's actually a traditional business archetype. It just happens to be offering an AI product. An AI native business is one that has AI baked into all the areas of the business. And we like to think of the areas of a business being the customer area, the enterprise area, and the ecosystem area. It will become prevalent not only as the technology of AI advances, but also as the culture changes and as businesses start to experiment and leverage these technologies and create new business models effectively.
If we were to reduce each of the archetypes to a single word or perhaps a single sentence, it seems like traditional would be transactional and digital would be experiential. What word would you use to describe blockchain and AI?
I would use decentralization for blockchain. And for AI native business archetypes, it would be intelligence at the level of the intelligence that is invisible in our galaxy. So that's a way to understand, to grasp what level of intelligence we are talking about here.
Can you elaborate on the nature of leadership and how it's changing under the more recent archetypes?
Everything is so interconnected that it is very difficult to lead a business in this type of environment. I think it's the moment that we need a new business model. It's really for those leaders that have a bias to shape our future and are not so much focused on micromanaging these technologies and thinking that, okay, here is another technology, how we use it. This is about the leaders that are really visionaries and are thinking of how they can change the business, taking into account the future of work will completely change, the way we will earn our living, the way we will communicate, and the way products and services are manufactured, delivered, and consumed.
Ultimately, this is a show focused on open banking. So let's try and use the archetypes to chart the course of banking. Let's start with the traditional. Tell me about the nature of traditional banking.
Well, the nature of traditional banking has actually been one of enabling transactions in the economy and selling products that enable people and businesses to build wealth. And that has been the focus, to enable the transactions and to sell products. When we look at the evolution into the native digital archetype in finance, we realized that not only they brought into the mindset of an experience economy. So what is the customer experience when doing a financial transaction, when inquiring for a financial service, when building credit scores, when building a business and trying to manage cash flows? What is the customer experience and how to open access to products and services, be it investment products, be it credit products or insurance products that were not available before and do it in a way that the unit economics work. I see openness in the digital native archetype at many levels, in the sense of increasing accessibility, in the sense of blurring the lines with other industries and finding the customers at the point of interaction. So if you're traveling, if you're shopping, if you're at the hospital, wherever you are, if you need a financial transaction, if you need to make a financial decision, then that it has been possible because of the mindset of openness that was market driven, that now in certain jurisdictions is also compliant and regulatory driven. Now, in the blockchain archetype, openness is really built in, because these protocols, think of Ethereum, think of Solana, they're all permissionless operating systems, layer one foundations on which one can build different types of financial products. If we think of DeFi, which is built mostly on Ethereum, it is really built because of the openness of this system. If you think of automated market makers, which are core to DeFi, where you have these liquidity pools that are from the crowd, that's another element of openness that has been introduced through blockchain for finance. And now, even TradFi, traditional businesses, are realizing that there's value for them in adopting these processes. So it's always openness that is leading innovation in places that traditional financial businesses weren't looking before. If you think of AI, we can only realize the full network effects of AI if we operate in a more open system rather than in closed systems. Openness is like a Greek goddess that's operating behind the scenes. And even if you don't see her, she's really there. I suggest that you be very aware of her and maybe make some offerings to her, because she is working behind the scenes and pushing the industry to really change based on her thinking, her operating as a goddess in the market, because all these interconnected technologies and trends can only be leveraged with the mindset of openness.
In her efforts to help navigate the uncertain future, Effie and her colleagues have introduced the term fast future blur. They define a blur as an interconnection between key technologies, an overlap, a synergy. And in that relationship lies opportunity. Effie's framework identifies four business archetypes: traditional, digital, blockchain, and AI. Businesses, including banks, are native to a given archetype and may be transitioning from one to another as the environment around them evolves. The concept of openness plays a key role. Common shared standards have been crucial to every industrial revolution, as they enable different parts built by different people to form a cohesive whole. Open banking is no exception. The standards it puts in place will allow all forms of finance, whether traditional, digital, blockchain, or AI, to work together seamlessly. One thing is for certain: if there is a Greek goddess of openness. I am no doubt one of her most loyal disciples. How does the idea of platforms figure into this transition from traditional to digital to blockchain to AI?
There's no doubt that the platform business model has been a successful business model in the third industrial revolution and continues to be such a successful model. We should take the principles of how a complex platform-based ecosystem functions and really use that framework to start understanding the complexity of applying AI across all the areas of the customer, the enterprise, and the ecosystem. That really helps us build more complex platform-based ecosystems by leveraging AI. Up to now, we have few successful examples of platform-based ecosystems that are very complex. Amazon is probably one of them. But I think with the AI native business archetype, that we are going to see more of those. And one way to think of it is if you take a conglomerate business that has different types of businesses, they are typically run in a fairly independent way. An AI native business archetype can really intelligently connect these independent parts of a conglomerate and also help that conglomerate really leverage network effects between these seemingly unrelated businesses, something that we haven't done before. I like to think of an AI native business as one that uses this type of intelligence that is nonlinear, it has many dimensions, and can really help us hack complexity, which we haven't hacked yet. Platforms essentially that are going to be much more intelligent than what we have today. So how does that look like? We need to move to a nonlinear type of thinking to be able to grasp this.
Can you elaborate on what you mean by nonlinear thinking?
If you look at even a digitally native business that has tons of data insights, tons of KPIs, at the end of the day, decisions at the strategic level are really made in a very heuristic and linear way. A group of leaders at the C-suite decide what are the priorities, look at the KPIs around those priorities and make decisions. These decisions are made in a batch processing way, once a quarter, once a year. Now, in an AI native world, we want to be able to do this continuously, and only AI can do that for us. That's nonlinear thinking. We're operating on many dimensions continuously and not with this a way of once a quarter, only with the strategic meetings, or only looking at customer feedback and not integrating the customer feedback with the supplier and other value chain feedback and insights. All that complexity requires really nonlinear thinking, which means complex matrices, a lot of interactions, and looking at them at the same time, not independently. That's where nonlinearity comes in.
You've mentioned openness in general, but let's dig into open banking in specific. Where do you see open banking, which is to say common open standards for the secure exchange of financial data, and indeed all data, fitting in to this idea of the fast future blur?
The idea is that we need to produce and deliver financial services that up to now have been mainly manufactured and processed on old rails, rails that don't allow that openness and don't allow, rightly so, regulators to be comfortable. So we need to change at the infrastructure level where we are manufacturing the services in order to be able to build on top of that. What can that look like? Well, I think that clearly we have to start with native, secure digital identities for human beings and for the AI agents that are going to be serving us. All these agents need to have digital identities. So that's one infrastructure that needs to happen, whether it happens within one jurisdiction or across many, I don't know. But technically, that is what needs to happen first. And then we need to build on top of that services that are much more open. We are going in that direction. It's going to happen. Maybe we will take twists and turns. Definitely, it's going to be a roller coaster, but that is where we're heading. So that's where openness in banking comes in to enable all these blurs that we are talking about.
It seems like your conception of open standards goes well beyond even the idea of open data into things like an open blockchain standard, an open AI standard, common digital ID, et cetera, et cetera. Is that right?
It is right.
Do you see the world progressing in that direction, or are we stumbling?
We are stumbling. It's a roller coaster. It's geopolitics that are not allowing this. But we all know that technology is unstoppable. The genie is out of the bottle. How will it happen? Will it happen through consortiums? Will it happen through small countries that can really leverage this and show the world how it can work? Can that happen out of Singapore? Can that happen out of Switzerland? Countries that have decentralization in their blood? I don't know, but these are possibilities.
Do you equate the idea of permissionless with the idea of openness?
I think everything is a matter of degree. In theory, yes, I equate permissionless with openness. In practice, I see that we can have at different levels. I don't want to sound like decentralization in the sense of a DAO is where we are heading and where we're going, but definitely a larger degree of decentralized governance is in the books. There is this push from society to open up more, to be more fair, because we've realized that the wealth inequality is increasing despite this era of digital transformation and openness that seems on the surface to be more democratic and fair, but in reality, it proved to not be so fair, and the increasing wealth inequalities are a big problem. We need to move to a direction of permissionless and openness for that reason.
Does that mean that the ideas of permissionless openness, decentralization, automated intelligence ultimately will come to change not just our business structures, but the way we govern society at large?
100%. Why not organize in a different way than physical states and physical countries and take that entrepreneurial spirit and create a virtual network state? And then you take it from the virtual and you can create physical representations of those network states. I see a lot of ideas that come from the fact that there is this deep urge to find a different way of collaborating and organizing than the one that we have right now, which has the physical borders of the country-specific IDs and is very connected to the physicality and the specific governance and systems. And I think that these ideas are going to continue to be pushed. You can say, what does all this have to do with financial services? It's changing our thinking. It's opening up our way of understanding how organized societies work. And economic activity in financial services will always be core to how we work, how we collaborate. And if that's changing, if that's been disrupted or revisited, if we are thinking whether we can organize differently, then financial services have to be rethought in a completely different way. Not just how do we offer traditional services to the unbanked and to the underbanked. It's the fact that we are rethinking money. We are rethinking how to collaborate, how to organize, where we belong. Everything is affecting financial services. So that's where I see openness in our thinking and realizing that everything is interconnected.
Open banking and open the rest of the world.
Correct. Openness. The Greek deity. The question is, how does openness look? Because we want to have a visual representation to imagine how openness looks. In my visualization, she's definitely a woman because that allows her to have this fluid hair and a sort of that female energy that one finds when you have representations like Europa and other goddesses. And because the female energies are also much more adaptable, they seed new ideas, and more importantly, they have a focus on being more holistic and understanding the complexity and the interconnections. So I love to think of openness as operating around us with that type of female energy. I would like to share with you is that there is another Greek deity that's called Tyche, which means opportunity in Greek, and has an element of luck. And there's a wonderful visual representation of her. She has her head shaved for the most part, except a bunch of hair in front, like in her forehead, really long. And the idea is that when opportunity, Tyche, knocks on your door, you have to swiftly open the door and grab her by her front hair, because otherwise she swiftly turns around and leaves and you have no way to grab her. And openness is a cousin of Tyche, the goddess of opportunity.
So we better grab for open banking, because the opportunity won't stay for very long.
yes, grabbing the opportunity is really important because the future is a blur and you need to grab that opportunity to shape it in the way that we want to live.
Effie, where can our guests find out more about you and the work you're doing?
So I'm on LinkedIn is my big platform. You can follow me there. You can also sign up for my YouTube channel where I do interviews. I write a blog every week. I teach on Fast Future Executive. You can also check out our new Wiley book, The Fast Future Blur, Discovering Transformative Interconnections Shaping Our Future. In the book, I've co-authored the chapter around thinking like an AI native business, but there's more interconnections discussed around, for example, regenerative economic principles and digital platforms, around how the future of work and blockchain may interact and create deconstructed and decentralized work, and much more. It's really geared for anyone that has a fast forward speed bias to understand where we are heading.
Thank you for a wonderful conversation, Effie. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me. It was a great opportunity, and I really enjoyed it.
In the humdrum of our daily routine, it can be easy to forget that we are standing at the precipice of extraordinary technological upheaval. A time of change that is unlike anything humanity has ever experienced. These periods of great transformation don't come along very often, but when they do, they change the world. This time, our time, holds boundless opportunities to reshape our lives, driving unprecedented innovation and progress. We have the potential to forge a future more bright than any time in history. Effie is Greek, and it can be a little dangerous to correct a Greek person's retelling of Greek mythology, but here goes. While Tyche was the goddess of luck, it was in fact her lover, Kairos, who was the god of opportunity. It was Kairos who must be grabbed by the hair flowing from his forehead before he turns away. As from behind, his bald head means an opportunity missed. Tyche and Kairos, luck and opportunity, often go hand in hand. The image of Tyche was often used for the minting of money. Even the ancient Greeks understood how much luck was wrapped up in its creation and exchange. But Tyche wears a blindfold. Money is impartial. Kairos is more like open banking, an opportunity to reinvent our financial system into something better. We just have to grab it by the hair and not let go before it's too late. Thanks for listening to Mr. Open Banking, the podcast that explores the ongoing evolution of open banking and its impact on our lives. Make no mistake, the rise of open banking is going to change financial services forever, and we will be covering that story every step of the way. This is your host, A.L. Savan. Until next time. This episode of Mr. Open Banking was made possible by Ozone API, providers of the only API platform that supports every open banking standard in the world, unlocking the power of open finance. To learn more, visit ozoneapi.com.